Burn the witch!
Burn her!
What makes you think she is a witch?
Well, she turned me into a newt.
A newt?
I got better.
Burn her anyway!
Burn her!
Quiet. There are ways of telling whether she is a witch.
Are there?
Tell us!
What are they?
Tell me. What do you do with witches?
Burn them!
Burn her!
And what do you burn apart from witches?
More witches!
Wood!
So why do witches burn?
Because they're made of wood?
Good.
Yeah.
So how do we tell whether she is made of wood?
Build a bridge out of her!
Ah, but can you not also make bridges out of stone?
Oh, yeah.
Does wood sink in water?
No. It floats.
It floats!
Throw it to the pond!
The pond!
What also floats in water?
Bread!
Apples!
Very small rocks! Cider!
Gravy!
Cherries!
Mud!
Churches! Churches!
Lead!
A duck.
Exactly.
Oh.
So logically,
if she weighs the same as a duck, she's made of wood.
And therefore?
A witch!
Here is a duck. Use this duck.
Very good. We shall use my largest scale.
Burn the witch!
Burn her! Burn her!
Right. Remove the supports.
A witch!
It's a fair cop.
Burn her!
Who are you who are so wise in the ways of science?
I'm Ashley.
I'm KB.
And I'm Sally.
And welcome to Legendary Lasses.
also, I'm Travis. I was here for the intro. Hello.
Yes. Thank you to our very first podcast guest, Travis, making his internet podcasting acting debut. Thank you so much.
Oh, of course. Happy to contribute. And so if any of the fans hated some of that, that's on me. That's on me. I'll take
it up with his agent.
Send us an email, we'll delete it.
Send us an email, so, they'll delete me.
So I guess in case you couldn't tell, it's time, baby.
Yeah.
We're gonna be talking witch trials. Buckle up is all I can say.
Yeah, we're gonna be covering up all the witch trials. Obviously Salem, but we're gonna do that later. What we're going to cover today is just context, just so you can, and for this whole series, we're going to be painting with broad strokes.
Yeah.
Witch trials, everything is very entwined with each other, and it is, messy. The way I thought of it was, like, it's this big tangle of, like, yarn, and you just have to, like, sift through it, and, yeah, we're just painting in broad strokes. And we're going to be, like I said, today's just going to be context. And then we're going to be splitting it up by region. So, like, in Europe, in Salem, and going it that way.
And, so I kind of mentioned today we're going to kind of go over... I'm going to call it context for the rest of the episodes that follow the series. Sally's got some interesting stuff for us that I'll let her introduce when it's her time. We'll be talking historical context on my part. KB's going to go over some signs of the witch. I don't know if that's what you want to title it.
Yeah.
But.
Well, I know compared to what you guys have had to endure this week, my part's maybe the more fun part. Fun being a relative term for this topic, I guess, but, yeah, I kind of wanted to do this part because I have a very vivid memory of, you know, being in middle school history class and having this topic sort of broached for the first time. And the way that my teacher went about it, I guess, was giving us basically this list of things. Like, you know, do you do this? Do you do that? And then sort of saying, well, if you answered yes to any of the above, you would have been a witch and probably would have died. And so that's, yeah, that was the fun introduction that I got to,
great.
to this topic. So, and kind of talking about this, I think, has a greater purpose of just showing, like, like with the intro we just did, there were sort of some ridiculous things that got people labeled witches. And particular demographics, I would say, suffered more acutely than others.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of what I'm going to be talking about today. Some things, you know, we're kind of familiar with. Things like, if you talk to animals, then that's your familiar, and, you know.
I'm gone already. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. I talk to dogs all the time. Like, all three of us are toast.
I mean, in the last episode, we literally did cover that I have three random wild crows outside my apartment that I talk to.
Yeah.
Like, and that you have named.
Uh-huh. And I've named.
Yeah. So, yeah. Super, super witch. but things like that, and then also any kind of marks on your body, like birthmarks or odd moles, even probably, you know, that kind of stuff, that would be considered your witch's teat sometimes, is how they would refer to it.
What if someone had freckles? Would that mean that they're like have the mark of the beast?
I think if it's a big enough freckle,
that just means they're ginger.
I think something we're going to get into is anything they could use as an excuse to say you were a witch would be used. So, but yes, any kind of marks or anything they, well, and that's another thing is that during this process, and we'll probably get further into this, they, you know, a lot of times it was young women or just women in general, and they would like strip them down and search them over their entire body for marks. So
can we be clear that when we say they stripped them down, that it was usually like town elders and the men. Leaders being
it
like
was,
men.
Hold on, it's in my book that I'm gonna be covering.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that was one sign. Other signs might be you're too preoccupied with time. Things like that. Like, women aren't supposed to have thoughts, right? Anyway.
What?
Yeah, that was one that was told to me. That's one that has stuck in my mind.
That's a strange one that I've never heard.
Yeah, so going back to that, like, middle school history experience, that was one that, like, stuck with me so much because I'm so, like, and I think we all are now, kind of preoccupied with time and, like, being somewhere on time or things like that, or even, you know, it might be in the sense of, like, the seasons, you're preoccupied with that, which I could see, like, kind of folding into that witch idea. But, yeah.
But also, like, if I mean, talking from, like, a woman's perspective, even at this time was expected to take care of the household and the children.
Yeah.
So, like, how could you not be preoccupied with time if you've got a household to run and children to look after?
Yeah. Exactly.
That's what?
Yeah. Kind of a catch-22, though.
Yeah. Other things like, especially if you were a woman living alone or on the outskirts of town, you know, you kind of were the town scapegoat for a lot of things.
Yeah.
If anyone had crop trouble or their animals died, or sometimes we'll see, like, if their husbands couldn't get it up, it was because a witch, like, stole their manly power or whatever. And
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So lots of, like, kind of ridiculous signs of witches. That really, again, I think it's going to be a theme of we are, look at this time in society, are looking for any way to label someone a witch. It's not necessarily like, you know, here are some actual telltale... No, it's just stuff we made up. Stuff specifically that men made up.
And sometimes kids just have fun.
Yeah, that's something else we'll talk about, is kind of the role of children or like minors in witch trials, because I think they sort of play a big role in it as well. And that's something we'll be getting into. So...
There's for sure a case in England that I'd love to cover with you guys, mm-hmm. because it fascinates me. Yeah. And there's a child involved.
Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where I'm at for my segment, I guess, my short little segment. Just to point out, you know, these things particularly affected women, number one, but especially older women. Women who, you know, would at sometimes be labeled like not really a contributing part of society, which is a terrible way to put it, but like, oh, they're not useful anymore because they can't have like children or whatever. They're not married. They're just sort of like an older woman living in the woods. Which is
like all I want to do.
Yeah. Well, and yes. It's horrible because a lot of times those women are just minding their own damn business, or they're actively helping the town, and then sort of the mood shifts from being one of like, oh, she can help people and we just kind of don't bother her, don't really talk about her, to like, we're actively persecuting her.
This may be just in a couple of cases that I've read, but I mean, from what I understand is that, like, town healers were usually women and usually lived on the outskirts of town.
Yeah.
Because they could travel from one town to another easier. But...
Yeah.
If you're doing healing during this time, probably not good.
Well, and it's... I think it brings about a bigger question of, like, what is witchcraft and what constitutes, like, witchcraft versus, like, miracle or doing God's work or... things like that. It's a very fine line, and you kind of see things swing a little bit, and that's sort of when we start getting witch trials, is when they swing from like, oh, this is not just like folk healing anymore, this is not a part of our society, this is something demonic and evil, and like, let's persecute it. So.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, because that for a long time, I mean, okay, so witch trials technically start in Europe in the 1400s, but I think when we get to, like, more Western Europe, especially into England, for a long time, folk magic and Christianity were hand in hand, especially when you have, like, earlier, you have, you know, Anglo-Saxon invaders, you have the Viking invaders, they bring their own culture, their own religions, right? But then... at some point in the 1400s, kind of everything changes. And I'll talk a little bit about some English laws that are put in during this time, but it's really crazy how wide that swing is very quickly.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of the, almost the great tragedy of it, is, you know, you have these things that have been considered a normal part of everyday life for so long, and then all of a sudden...
even a tradition.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden we sort of swing into this, like, no, that's not good. And I think you almost could also wrap it into, if you really wanted to make that argument, which is one that I would love to make, that it kind of wraps into earlier times when we've seen, like, Christianity move into pagan areas, and sort of this, like, demonization of anything pagan, you know, we sort of like, okay, we'll mix in your holidays and stuff, but like, let's make your gods demonic and evil, and, you know, so I think it's just sort of a continuation of that, anything that's sort of old tradition, that maybe men of like the current time when they're doing this, that they maybe don't quite understand, or it's been a huge facet of like women's power, such as it is, that it sort of becomes, you know, the great evil they're trying to oust from the land or something.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting that you say that when it becomes, like, a woman's power, mm-hmm. because, I mean, this is also a time when, like, only women are midwives, only women are,
yeah.
mm-hmm. you know, really any medical mm-hmm. facet. And then it suddenly swings to a very masculine job, yeah. which is very strange. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very, very strange.
Yeah.
I think about midwives a lot during this time and how much shit they had to go yeah. through. If yeah. I ever got a way back time machine, I would not go back to be a midwife.
Yeah, it is. Like, I was, I mean, I'll mention it when in my part, because that there's, like, parts of, like, on that, like, on midwives. And
mm. Yeah, it's a lot, you guys. I'm already having a little bit of a breakdown. Yeah.
Oh, young James has gone and gotten himself eaten by the bears again. Let's go stitch him up before dinner. I don't know, just like problems, just, problems of a Salem midwife.
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
For sure.
Because I mean, it was still untamed America, right? Because like, just I mean, you're living on the edge of yeah. the wilderness. There's got to be bears and wolves and shit. You got to keep an eye on these. These little kids running around,
yeah.
well, exploring nature.
Well, I think especially when we get to, like, Salem, there's also the fear of the other, meaning, like, the other persons, because mm-hmm. they're still dealing with indigenous peoples as well.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
So there's yeah. that fear, too. And I feel like that's probably a big topic or theme that we'll keep coming back to mm-hmm. throughout the series, is this, like, fear of the other.
Mm-hmm.
And what exactly does that mean?
Yeah.
But it seems to be a trending fear in all great human tragedies.
Yeah. Well, just for some reason, we can't seem to be okay with people being different from us, which is
yeah
horrifying. But
yeah, it's that whole thing of, like, people are just afraid of what they don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah. What I don't understand is, well, here we go. Let's talk about racism again, you guys.
But we, like, always come back to it. It's, you know.
But, like, even when they do get to know it or do understand it, there's still that, like, fear of the other, which causes, like, other outward emotions to start acting up. And it's just strange. It's strange.
It's also, like, I'll talk about it. I'll talk about it in my section. It's yeah.
Well, before we get into Sally, because I feel like Sally's is going to be a beast, mm-hmm. and I'm going to have some, like, drier historical context to give you guys. So maybe we should go ahead and take a break, mm-hmm. and then we'll come back with Sally's topic, which I'm very excited for her to introduce, and I almost just said it out loud.
Spoilers yeah. now.
All right.
We've been going at a nice, like, 35 miles an hour, I feel like, and we're about to bump it up to, like, 70 or 80, I feel like.
Oh, I was going to say, like, 100.
Yeah. It's going to be a lot.
Yeah. This has been, like, a nice dip your toes into the pool.
Yeah.
And now
we're just going to shove you in the deep yeah. end.
We're going to take you up to the high dive and push you off.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope you know how to swim. Sally, I guess the question is, are you ready?
I'm ready as I'll ever be. So for witch trials, I covered the topic of the Malleus Maleficarum. Yes.
Bless your heart, girl, for trying to tackle this.
So if anyone doesn't know, the Malleus Maleficarum, or also known as the Witch's Hammer, it was a witch hunting manual.
Which is the most metal name ever. Can we yes. start there? I want to appreciate that about the book.
Yes. It's written by Heinrich Kramer, who was a Catholic clergyman. It was written in the 1400s. And like I said, it was a witch hunting manual. And I was like, oh, witch hunting manual. So, like, an instruction manual. Like, for furniture, you get at IKEA. But it's more confusing. Like, oh, no.
I don't know.
Like, I got this book, and I was like, okay, I have, like, a week and a half to read this. I can do it. And no. Like, it was like the second day I was reading it, and I damn near had a breakdown. I was having to read over stuff. Like, the language is a little confusing. So, you know, if you want some light reading, pick this up. Recommend. 10 out of 10.
Take it to the beach with you on summer vacation.
Not possible.
Yes.
Not scientifically possible.
It's me.
So this book is broken up into three parts, and then in every part has, like,
a
bunch of questions just to, like, break that up.
Sure.
What I did was I chose one question from each part just for time, and my method of choosing was either... Oh, I've never heard of that. That sounds interesting. Or what's going to piss me off?
Can you imagine someone just sitting on the beach reading the Malleus?
So be prepared to be pissed off.
All right. I'm going to grab a drink of water before I get pissed off.
Yes. And I'm also going to be reading parts from the book as well.
Great. Hey, Sally, maybe we could open up the next episode with asking us another question, too.
Sure. So the first part, it says treating of the three necessary
Do you want to take that again?
Nope.
I'm just gonna leave
it. It's like basically what are ways to identify a witch? And I chose question six, which is why concerning witches who copulate with devils. Why is it that women are chiefly addicted to evil superstitions?
So it's the nice guy argument?
No. So I was like, okay, they're basically like, why are witches mostly women? And it says, and I quote, why a greater number of witches is found in the fragile feminine sex than among men. Oh. Ashley. We are just starting.
I got to take my jacket off. I'm suddenly very warm. Who am I punching in the dick? What?
I'm going to be reading.
Literally, they're there because you said they were. What?
Oh, hold on. Ashley, this is just the beginning.
This is question one?
Whoa!
There are three things in nature: Ashley's face, a tongue, and ecclesiastical, and a woman, which know no moderation in goodness or vice. And when they exceed the bounds of their condition, they reach the greatest heights and
Ashley's
the lowest depths of goodness and vice. When they are governed by a good spirit, they are most excellent in virtue. But when they are governed by an evil spirit, they indulge the worst possible vices.
So, okay, hold on. Does this lovely book of literature tell you anything about what are virtues and vices? Or are we going to assume it's based on the church?
Well, in the second part that I'm about to read. So it talks about, it gives examples of the tongue and the ecclesiastic.
Which, can we talk about that separation really quick? Why are you picking out those three things? I don't understand.
Listen, I'm just reading from the book.
Excuse
Ashley.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry I'm getting mad at you, Sally. I know it's not you.
Yes. Malleus Maleficarum. So, and so this is what they said about women. Now, the wickedness of women is spoken of in Ecclesiasticus 25. There is no head above the head of a serpent, and there is no wrath above the wrath of a woman. I'd rather dwell with a lion and a dragon than to keep house with a wicked woman. And among much which in that place proceeds and follows about a wicked woman, he concludes, all wickedness is but little
send
to
an
the
email
wickedness
to the author
of a woman.
Put out a revised copy of the map.
What?
What is it again? The
Malleus.
The Malleus.
Shall I continue?
Whatever.
Now, if that wasn't cringeworthy enough, this is gonna be like some incel level shit.
Oh my god!
What else is woman but a foe to friendship? An unescapable punishment, a necessary evil, a natural temptation, a desirable calamity, a domestic danger, a delectable detriment, an evil of nature painted with fair colors.
Whoa!
Okay.
Okay.
Hold on.
Okay. Oh boy, oh boy. Here we go.
This was question one.
No, this was question six.
Oh, okay.
Excuse me?
A desirable what?
A desirable calamity.
A desirable calamity. Like, so you're lusting after any woman, but you know any woman is a potential disaster.
Laughing. It reminds me of, oh gosh, what is his name? Ed Gein?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Like his mom would tell him, like,
but
all
the
women are evil.
Mm-hmm.
You get out, yeah.
So
all other women, they're whores. They're fucking whores.
And we all know how that ended.
Come on now.
That's not funny. I'm not laughing because of what happened. I'm never mind.
And then later on it goes, but for good women, there is much praise that we read that they have brought beatitude to men and have saved nations, lands, and cities, as is clear in the case of Judith, Deborah, and Esther. See also 1 Corinthians 7. If a woman hath a husband that believeth not, and he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the believing wife. And Ecclesiasticus 26, blessed is the man who has a virtuous wife, for the number of his days shall be doubled. And throughout that chapter, much high praise is spoken of the excellence of good women, as also in the last chapter of Proverbs concerning a virtuous woman. And all this is made clear also in the New Testament concerning women and virgins and other holy women who have by faith led nations and kingdoms away from the worship of idols to the Christian religion.
There it is.
Yeah. It also says that women are more superstitious than men because they are credulous. They are naturally more impressionable. They have slippery tongues and gossip.
Oh, okay.
And last but not least, women are essentially dumb. Like, yes. And there's so much more women bashing. In here it says, and it should be noted that there was a defect in the formation of the first woman, since she was formed from a bent rib. That is, a rib of the breast, which is bent, as it were, in a contrary direction to a man. And
it literally came from a man.
Oh, no. And since through this defect, she's an imperfect animal, she always deceives.
Yeah.
And so, and what I noticed, they said an imperfect animal. There's always like language in here to show that women or witches, I think we can use those terms interchangeably.
What?
As not human. I've heard seen terms as animals, beasts, devils. So it's that again what we're talking about, a fear of the other.
Mm-hmm.
Holy
and
Lord,
demonizing
the hell,
just
man.
The other gender.
Half the population.
You know, before...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like...
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes. But it's also just like... This is... But it's also like, this is exactly...
But
why women were held down for so long is because they're an imperfect animal. There's something wrong with them. They're not perfectly created. They're dumb. They're evil. And it's like,
if we're gonna talk about the Bible,
I'm gonna get real close to the microphone here so everyone can hear me just fine. If we're going to talk about the biblical story of Eve, then we need to all agree that the imperfect rib she came from came from Adam, who was a man. So, how about them apples?
I love how, Ashley, you started going into your customer service voice.
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to make sure that everyone could hear me very clearly, because everyone's gonna be on my fucking fight list after this.
And if Adam was God's perfect creation, then why would he have
I'm gonna an imperfect punch
rib?
You in the dick, but I promise exactly. You'll love it. Or I won't.
Yeah.
I'm making s'mores.
You gotta welcome them onto that fight list.
That
you
was
give
part
them
one.
Thank you for calling.
So that was part star. One. That was just like, how do I identify a witch? What are the identifiers? Why are they women?
We can see that your
part
car
two
is burning
is,
inside of a ditch right now.
Why are they women? I wonder.
We'll bring
with more
yes.
fire.
We'll bring
so part two.
Yeah.
I'm already 100% over this.
I've got the marshmallows.
What year is this published? 14, 15 something?
No, it's 1484.
Well, I'm already 100% over this 1484 German incel.
Because the people writing this book are men. That's why.
This is the...
People are going to ask questions if they realize, like, oh, it's a lot of women that turn out to be witches. We better rationalize this shit real quick.
Yeah.
Oh.
No.
I'd 100% watch that.
No, this is the manifesto for the He-Man Woman Haters Club. That's what this is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Travis is
like,
so nervous.
Before I started hearing all the... sexist shit that's in here. I was gonna say, like, I would totally watch the show about, like, a Catholic priest who, like, writes, like, a monster hunting manual and, like, goes around the world on adventures
and
shit.
So we're gonna start back at part two.
Yeah,
I know.
Part two is more about
I know, I was saying, like, I would watch that show
by being a woman
before all of the sexist bullshit.
No, it's like,
and then I'd change
the
channel.
Oh, like a deal with the devil?
Of the way whereby a pact is made.
I'm aware.
Solid, I'm into this.
And then also remedies for that.
No, I'm not, like, advocating.
They're both written through interesting, so I'm going to talk about both.
Got it.
The Malleus.
So the way
you would
the
not be
pact
with me
is made
if
with
you were
people.
Advocating for anything.
It varies. It said, quote, according
to
the several practices to which different witches are addicted, end quote. addicted. I was like, the fuck? It kept mentioning, like we were talking before, male sterility and impotence.
Yeah.
I'm starting to think that the author of this book
may have had a problem.
Had a problem. Oh. He's doing projects and projecting.
Yeah.
Again, that's why. This is like.
I bet Freud would have loved
with
this
women.
Man.
I think so. So another way is that formal pacts would be made with evil is that witches would dedicate their own children to devils.
Nice.
Obviously, carnal copulation with devils.
Weird.
And, yeah. And then another one was a solemn ceremony, like a vow. And so they'd say that they'd meet up with the devil and would make an oath of homage to himself. It would go something like this. I know. The devil demands the following oath of homage to himself, that she give herself to him, body and soul, forever, and do her utmost to bring others to both sexes into his power. He adds, finally, that she is to make certain unguents from the bones and limbs of children, especially those who have been baptized, by all which means she will be able to fulfill her wishes with his help.
So this is exactly like the movie The Witch.
Yes. And it was I remember this part here reminded me of the part that I was reading about how it was starting to... this was when they were thinking that witches were midwives.
Mm-hmm.
And so either they would either abort the child or offer newborn children to the devil. Like, yeah.
It's a bad midwife.
Yeah. So I think this is the part where they were like, yeah. And then these are remedies prescribed by the Holy Church against incubus and succubus devils.
Oh, good. I can't wait to hear this.
And literally, incubus and succubus is male and female demons.
Usually sexual demons, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, this guy's got a real bad problem.
Yeah, he does. He does. The ways that they can happen where they get
involved with incubus
and succubus happen in three ways. Either women voluntarily prostitute themselves to incubi.
Okay.
Secondly, when men have connection with succubus devils, yet it does not appear that men thus devilishly fornicate with the same full degree of culpability, for men, being by nature intellectually stronger than women, are more apt to abhor such practices.
So hold on. They can have sexual contact with a succubus, a sexual demon, but not be held culpable like a female having sexual contact with an incubus.
Yes, because they're smarter and stronger and are more apt. Yes.
Yeah, it sounds like they should be able to control their penis.
Yeah. And then it says that they're the third way says that it says that they're also entangled with incubi or succubi against their will.
Okay.
Yeah.
Five
ways to
Succubus visit a raping of a man.
Yes.
But an incubus visit consensual.
I'm not saying any of
It says women voluntarily prostitute themselves.
None of this makes any sense. And it's meant to be.
Like I said, talks about five ways of getting rid of devils. First one, sacramental confession.
Sure.
Second one, sacred sign of the cross.
Okay.
Or it says by the recital of the angelic salutation. I don't know what that is. Yeah. I should have looked it up, but I was just pissed off at this point.
Sure.
The third one, good ol' exorcism.
Woo!
Yeah. Number four, moving to another place, change of scenery. And then number five, just excommunication.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know. No big deal.
And then we're going to move to the third part, which is judicial proceedings. This section was broken up into, like, they called it head. So the first head, the second head, and the third head. The first head talked about qualifications of witnesses. The second part was talking about the trial itself and questioning. The part that I was reading was talking about...
How is that going to get rid of,
like,
the devil?
The first day of questioning how that should go and whether she may be promised her life.
I guess so.
Oh.
Yes. And then the third part, the third head is sentencing. This gives, like, different scenarios and what should happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of them was like, once taken and convicted, but he denies everything. They deny everything. Things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
This
sounds rough.
It is rough. Woof. So when I was talking about the qualifications of witnesses, I saw one where it was question 5, whether mortal enemies may be admitted as witnesses. Which was really interesting.
Can I answer
mortal
that?
Mortal enemies.
Can I answer that question?
Sure.
For the jury? Sure. The answer should be no. Mortal enemies should not be included as witnesses because guess what? They hate them.
Yes and no. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes and no, Ashley. You are right and wrong at the same time.
It must be because I'm a woman.
Yeah. So, in the beginning, it does say, you must, that it say, like you were saying, it can't be because they're mortal enemies.
Exactly. It's
but,
just...
Yeah, there's the but.
The requirements and, like, the signs
I'm gonna be
of this
from
are
the book,
so vague
and
that
a mortal,
just anybody
enmity is constituted by the following circumstances. When there is a death feud or vendetta between the parties, or when there has been an attempted homicide or some serious wound or injury with manifestly show that there is mortal hatred in the part of the witnesses against the prisoner. This is talking about this is like the definition of a mortal enemy. This is what I talk
about.
Yeah,
someone who wants
I'm
them dead.
Part. Yes, and in such a case is prescribed that just as witnesses have tried to inflict temporal death on the prisoner by wounding him, so he will also be willing to affect his object by accusing him of heresy. And just as he wished to take away his life, so he would be willing to take away his good name. Therefore, the evidence of such moral and mortal enemies is justly disqualified. But!
Good. Oh, no! No! No one expects the second but.
So this was, that was, I phrased it wrong. That first part I just read, it was like giving the definition of,
okay,
their definition of a mortal enemy. My bad. This is the but.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
My bad. But there are other serious degrees of enmity, for women are
another
easily
but.
Oh boy.
To hatred.
Oh boy.
Which need not totally disqualify a witness.
Never.
Which need not totally disqualify a witness, although they render his evidence very doubtful, so that full credence cannot be placed in his words unless they are substantiated by independent proofs,
okay,
and other witnesses supply an inaudible proof of them. That made a fucking big gray area.
Okay. Here, can I say what I think I got from that?
Yeah.
So basically, any woman can testify, but all of their testimony will be considered with a grain of salt because they can be easily provoked. But any man's testimony could be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they wanted that person dead for some reason.
I think a lot of, I read it as, like, mortal enemies, obviously not.
Mm-hmm.
But there's an exception for women's mortal enemies, because they're women and they're more fickle, easily provoked, have slippery tongues, quoting this book.
Gross.
I was, when I was writing my notes, oh no, this was the second part, another part. But yeah, that just made a big gray area and was like,
it's also a huge problem of not taking women's issues or their concerns seriously.
Yeah, I have no idea how that's relevant today.
I have no clue, Sally.
No idea. No clue.
Interesting.
Whatsoever.
Stupid fuckers.
And so the second part of us was talking about questioning. Was talking about the first day of sentencing.
Mm.
And quote, whether she may be promised her life, end quote.
No.
So it said, right? And it said first that convicted witches, they'd be imprisoned, and then her friends would be summoned to convince her to, quote-unquote, confess the truth and Yet let him summon her friends and put it to them that she may escape the death penalty, although she will be punished in another way if she confesses the truth and urge them to try persuade her to do so. For every often, meditation in the misery of imprisonment and the repeated advice of honest men dispose the accused to discover the truth.
Meditation is an odd word in there.
To discover the truth. Yeah. But to discover the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll talk a little bit about that when we get to the piece of shit Matthew Hopkins.
Yeah. If she keeps saying no, if she keeps, you know, saying, I'm not a witch, that it says,
no.
And it should be begun in this way.
Read as
while
repeated months of being treated like dirt
be stripped,
and having men tell
woman,
her just
let her
confess
first be led
and
to
you
the
will
penal
be fine
and they're stripped by honest women of good
made
reputation.
Them confess
the
to
for,
things that
for this is
the
that
truth.
They should search
that,
for any
exactly,
instrument of
like...
witchcraft sewn into her clothes. For they often make such instruments at the instruction of devils out of the limbs of unbaptized children, the purpose for being that those children should be deprived of the beatific vision.
So they're making wands out of baby arms?
That's what I thought. And then it talks about how she'd have to be bound with cords, applied to some engine of torture.
Thumb screws.
And then let them obey at once, but not joyfully, rather appearing to be disturbed by their duty. Then let her be released again at someone's earnest request and taken on one side and let her again be persuaded. And in persuading her, let her be told that she can escape the death penalty. They're like, okay, then we start torturing. And then eventually, like, once torturing goes on and, like, she keeps saying, you know, we'll eventually burn her. Mm-hmm. Like, so fucking...
It's strange to me that this is the exact same way that you have to take a rape testimony in Italy during the same time period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like we talked about in the Artemisia episode.
Yeah. And then I was way too pissed to, like, look at this. Like, in my notes, I put, I was too pissed to continue reading.
Yeah, I'm pretty fucking angry right now. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. And I was like... Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like...
Yeah.
And then, like... Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and even if they did confess, at that time, their name is now ruined. Like, they have no other... There's no mobility in their life after that. Like, you are condemned.
It's hitting me with
point.
A lot of Spanish
yeah,
Inquisition.
Yeah, she doesn't
like,
have a lawyer. She doesn't
stop
have, like,
no.
OJ's well, lawyer. Where,
without
like,
even
I thought
the consideration that, like, torturing
like,
someone,
you
they
know
will
what
tell
I mean?
You
she's
anything that
witch.
You want to hear if it will
bitch.
Stop that torture. It doesn't matter if it's true.
If the glove doesn't fit, it can't be a baby arm wand. Is that anything?
No. No, I just got it.
There's like
she's
no,
not a witch.
There's no winning
you're just
in that
a little bitch.
Basically, it's
yeah,
just...
it's good. I like that one, Sally.
Thank you.
Exactly.
You should be. You should be a witch lawyer.
I'm trying to think of.
You know what? That's what we should do. If we ever get a way back time machine,
I'm
we should go back
find,
in time and be witch
lawyers
and be like, "She ain't no
can,
witch. You just
here.
A little bitch."
That rhymes with witch.
I'd wear a pantsuit. I would have suspenders. I would talk in a southern accent like this.
Your Honor, you see here.
My client here is not a witch. You just a little bitch.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Case closed. Thank you, Your Honor.
And then we would be on trial for witchcraft.
Oh, Jesus.
That's not helping this case,
hold
dude.
On, hold on. I just found a few.
You're now the
I
prosecutor.
Found a few ones. It couldn't.
Yeah.
Before. Okay. Yeah.
Bury the body in a ditch. That's true. If it don't twitch, very true. She's not a witch. Because let's be honest with ourselves.
Dig her
here.
A Christian grave.
The criminal justice system of this is designed so that the sentencing comes.
I think this is a really great way to start talking about Matthew comes Hopkins. Before the judgment.
I don't know, now we check the body.
Yeah. She wasn't a witch.
Just emotionally done.
Okay, let's not speak of this again.
So I'm going to tell you some dry history context that will put everything into more perspective.
Even though we're not going to be focusing specifically on
English witch trials, England does pass a series of acts about witchcraft that will become very important to everyone else. So I think it's first important to talk about James the First of Scotland, later James the Sixth of England, something like that, and Elizabeth the First. But James is very interested in the occult studies that are happening at this time. He reads the Malleus Maleficarum. I should mention he's alive during 1620 to about, or not 1620. I just lost my dates on James I, but it's 1600s, around Elizabeth. But he publishes the book Demonology, which is still a widely read occult book today on the study of demons. And he's going to come into play in a lot of this, so I think he's important to know about. The second person I really want to talk about is Matthew Hopkins, because an act is passed in 1563, and this is an act by Elizabeth the First. I'm going to talk about the act a little bit later, but basically Matthew Hopkins wanders into town one day and names himself the Witch Finder General, and would go from town to town and inquire after the town's witches and put them through what Sally just described. Matthew Hopkins is
What are his qualifications to call himself the Witch Master General, as you said?
The Witch Finder General. And his qualifications...
Witch Finder General, sorry.
Yeah. Get his title right. It's self-titled. And his qualifications are that he read the Malleus Maleficarum and no one else was doing the job.
Those are all the qualifications you need in the 1600s. You can be whatever you want. Like,
yeah.
Yes, hello, I am a
great
man.
Great time
and
to
I
be alive, unless you're a woman. Yeah. Pretty much.
And it's that whole thing, you know, see a need, fill a need.
Yep, it's exactly what happened. And the interesting part is that he wasn't very old while this was going on. Maybe 20s. Probably started as like a late teenager.
I always picture him as like a gross 50-year-old man.
Matthew Hopkins.
That kind of character.
Yeah, so interestingly, he was born around 1620 and dies around 1647.
Good.
So, yeah.
He's a member of the 27 Club.
Oh, no!
If he was born in 1620, that's our best guess for him.
Yeah.
But
I hope he's not.
That'd be a bad 27 Club after that. He's very well known for publishing a book called The Discovery of Witches, which is something that I'll bring more into the actual case studies. I think it'll be more important there. So just kind of hang on to that information. But he's very good at his job. Very, very good at his job. He's known for coming up with even more, I'm going to call them what they are, torture tactics. and he starts...
Are there Yelp reviews about this?
Yeah, but it just comes from the town barker.
I want to see a Google review.
He comes up with the whole pond system, with like throwing someone into the river, and if they sink, they're not a witch, and they would drown because they were bound. Don't know why that makes sense, but it did, and he liked it, so that's what he did. He also came up with the tactic of not letting a prisoner sleep or eat, and would routinely have guards wake them up and have them pace about their cell until they could no longer walk. They were given just water, sometimes bread, to keep them alive. And he's a very bad man. A very, very bad man who did a lot of things, and we will talk more about as we go through this series, I suppose. But the good news is that he dies of tuberculosis. So that's good.
Serves him right. I don't usually wish bad things on people, but...
Yeah, so he dies of tuberculosis. Yeah, he's a very problematic
person. Did he die on a bed of Legos, too? Because that's what would make it even.
Bed of Legos. I feel like he deserves worse than that. But,
die, wake up in hell, and you wake up in a room that's just... The floor is made out of Legos, and they're also on fire.
I just want a series of minor inconveniences all throughout his day.
The hell of a thousand cuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my favorite depiction of hell, by the way. Just minor inconveniences for the rest of eternity.
It'd be so frustrating.
And then like general
this
torture.
Boy, he's not a man. He's a boy.
Torture Thursday.
No, Torture Tuesdays.
Oh yeah, that makes more sense.
Torture Tuesdays.
Sorry.
There's a special place in hell for that dude.
Mm-hmm. There
he
is.
He only uses one ply toilet paper, and
it is just.
I'm so upset right now.
I know.
One ply toilet paper and the toilet seats are also made of Legos.
But,
and the one ply toilet paper is also made of bees.
Okay.
Oh, God.
No. I want minor inconveniences. One ply toilet paper.
All right. Fair enough.
And so, like whatever like food he has, like chips and whatnot, are just starting to go stale.
Ooh.
Yeah. Not so stale that you would throw them out yet, but like not satisfying.
You're just like, yeah.
Yikes. but that is Matthew Hopkins, who I'm sure we will talk about again throughout the series, but this is just an introduction to his lovely job. So I want to go ahead and talk about... that he gave himself. He was a very good entrepreneur. Because he's a man and can think. I hate him so much. Anyway, the first witchcraft act in England is published in 1542, and it's written by Henry VIII, who I think we're all familiar with. So
Another wonderful man.
But this act is really interesting because it's the first to define witchcraft as an actual felony, which is a crime punishable by death. Lesser felonies that would fall under this category would also be forfeiting, like, would be punished by forfeiting your goods and land, basically. But part of this act reads, the use in device, practice, or exercise, or cause to be devised, practiced, or exercised. You guys, this is like a, it's a weird thing. Bear with me. Any invocations, or conjurations, of sprites, witchcrafts, enchantments, or sorceries to find money or treasure, or to waste, consume, or destroy any person of his body member, or to provoke any person of to provoke any person to unlawful love or any other unlawful intent or purpose. It's forbidden. You can't do it. Another interesting part that I thought was strange to put in here was that it's forbidden to dig up or pull down any cross or crosses, or by such invocations or conjurations of sprites that basically call upon them to find lost or stolen goods. So this is like the whole, like, what is it, Saint Anthony is called upon to find lost things a lot. Yeah, or like divination, divining where something has gone. You can't do it. But I thought the weird part about you can't pull down or dig up crosses was weird. I think that must have been a big problem for them at the time.
Well, sometimes, like, and I don't know how true this is, because, but it would, like, go around in my small Arkansas communities that, like, people who engage in, like, satanic kind of rituals or whatever will break into churches, particularly Catholic churches, and, like, steal consecrated hosts or chalices and stuff like that. So I don't know if it's in that kind of... And again, I don't know how true it is that people would actually do these things, but...
Yeah, it sounds like a weird
something
thing.
Something that I've heard about for a long time.
Why would they want them if they don't believe in it?
Well, but, I think that's a question of, like, Satanists versus, like... Because I think Satanism is different than people think it is. It's not like...
Yeah, Satanism is not more about, like, human...
Yeah,
you mean, it's like, a different thing. They think it's devil worshipping. Interesting.
Yeah.
So, kind of like the satanic panic is still happening in Arkansas.
Well, and there used to always be stories of, like... And again, I don't know how true this is either... But, like, any time you have, like, a weird wooded area near, like, a specific mountain or something, it seems like there's stories about people going up there and doing rituals and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's a weird... And I don't know how true it is, because I am too chicken to go investigate. Rightfully so, I feel
Let's go investigate.
I don't want to be involved in...
Yeah.
No.
Let's go. Just
listen,
to investigate. I just want to see if they're there.
And...
No, it's probably just going, notice me, senpai. Notice me.
Oh, notice God. Me, senpai.
No, even if we're not haunted by, like, ghosts and demon people, we would be haunted by, like, the ghost of high school past. You know what I mean? Like...
Oh,
I don't
God,
go back
yeah.
There necessarily.
Y'all, can we talk
There's
about
like
the weird thing that happened
miss,
this week?
The weird thing that
a
happened.
A lot of weird things happened this week, Ashley.
You mean in your house?
Well, I mean, like, to me. In my house, yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about it, because I think we need, like, a quick little break from.
Okay,
everything.
Here's a quick
so
little
let's,
break
let's talk
from.
About it.
The historical context. So I'm going to give some context to my own life. A couple weeks ago, I had a framed picture hanging up on my wall that just in the middle of the day fell down. And that was really cool. The glass shattered everywhere and I had to, like, hurry and pick it up so my dogs didn't get into it. And it was really scary. But the weird thing is that, like, the nails were still in the wall. And it was one of those things where you, like, hang it on those, like, metal they're not hooks, but they have, like, the jagged edge. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like one of those. So, like, to have it fall, it would either have to be picked up and, like, dropped, or I don't know if it could, like, actually fall off, because the nails are angled, right? That doesn't make sense. So anyway, that happened a couple weeks ago, and then was it yesterday or the day before I told you guys about this? But I woke up and there's a book in the middle of my floor that I haven't touched in months. And it was just laying there. And it was a completely random book. It wasn't even anything that I had been, like, considering reading. But it was just laying there in the middle of my floor, and it wasn't there the night before. The book was called The Wild Irish.
That was my question.
And it's a book... That was her question. That was funny. The book was about Grace O'Malley and Elizabeth I. Random book. And so now I'm scared that I might be haunted. And I haven't even done anything to be haunted. That's the stupid part. I haven't even done anything.
He's an Irish ghost. He's trying to give you a clue. He's the Wild Irish.
See, I thought that it may be pirate spirits haunting us, like trying to get us a recommendation for our podcast. Because literally, like, the same day, it was like the day before, it was something, like, that same time, I had a thought pop into my head out of, like, nowhere, out of left field, about, like, we should talk about lady pirates. And that's just, like, Grace O'Malley, like, that's her whole thing.
Irish lady pirate ghosts are just haunting you, just being like, do a podcast episode on me.
Yes.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I've talked about Grace O'Malley and other lady pirates forever. She's probably haunting me.
I don't know. Maybe that's a good idea. Maybe that's a good idea.
I mean, go yes, away, but Grace. Lady pirates. Also, don't haunt us, please. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Please don't Thanks, haunt Grace. Anyone here.
So, yeah, that was my scary incident. Yeah, go visit Travis.
come on. But anyway.
I'm just kidding.
Look, they're already haunting her. I'm not extra work that needs to be done. We're both here. We're both here. You just haunt us. Just haunt us both. That's whatever. I'm part of it anyway, so whatever.
But yeah, anyway, getting back
tiny,
into
tiny break.
Listen, yeah, I hope you all feel relaxed after that. So 20 years after
watch
this
out
first,
for Lady Pirate
which yeah. So 20 years after the first Witchcraft Act goes out, Elizabeth I publishes her own. And this is important because her act actually is more lenient on punishment, which is interesting when you consider that she has John Dee in her court. For anyone who's unfamiliar with John Dee, I'm going to put him as a candidate for our secondary podcast if we ever do it, of like historical men. But if you're unfamiliar with him, he's an all-around occultist at this time. But yeah, so Elizabeth's Act basically says that anyone who uses, practices, or exercises any witchcraft, enchantment, charm, or sorcery, whereby any person shall happen to be killed or destroyed, is then a guilty of a felony. So it's only if a person is harmed by any of this, physically harmed, the person who caused it is guilty of a felony now. And the punishment for that is death. So, the interesting part about this act to me is that a weird crime statistic happens where out of 1,158 homicide cases that are still identified in surviving records, I'm going to give you the smaller number first, and this is going to be a comparison rate. So out of that 1,158, only 31 of them are considered to be suspected poisons, and the unbelievably high number of 228 were crimes that were suspected to be killed by witchcraft. Not killing someone because they're a witch, 228 cases are considered to be death by witchcraft, which is 20% of the cases.
It's just kind of like, was this like just like a blanket kind of like, this is a cold case, it's a witch?
100%. 100%. And so of these 228
cases... Look, I can solve every single unsolved mystery because of this.
Yeah, it was a witch. Duh. But out of these 228 cases, only 157 of them were acquitted. Of that number, of the full number, 228, only 9 of the accused were men. Which is just... I think very telling.
Yeah.
But it's okay because in 1563, same year as this act is published, Scotland publishes their own witchcraft act, which is based off of this one. But this Scottish Scottish statute would be repealed in 1735 in Scotland itself. And then James ascends.
I'm still waiting for you to say how it's better.
Well, we'll get there. James the First takes the English throne in 1604 after Elizabeth's death. And he actually takes the throne in 1603. I'm reading and talking at the same time, which is not my forte, obviously. Takes the throne in 1603, and 1604 he publishes his own witchcraft act that would combine Scotland and England together under one act. Again, this is the guy who publishes demonology, so I think we know where he's coming from. The full title of this act,
isn't
by the way,
is
hilariously long.
Isn't this also King James Bible Man?
It is, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I find that interesting.
Yeah. So the full title of this act is An Act Against Conjuration, Witchcraft, and Dealing with Evil and Wicked Spirits. Which sounds very much like the King James Bible. This is where Matthew Hopkins comes in. He takes this statute and says, well, I'm now the Witchfinder General. And takes on King James the First act. And the only change that James makes to Elizabeth's act at this time is changing it back to... So it still remains in, like, common law practice, not ecclesiastical courts. But everything else is... Everything under this act is treated as a felony again, most of which end in hanging, which is not surprising. There is a brief section about any witch who commits like a minor act of witchcraft, and there's really not a clear idea of what a minor act consists of. That could be punishable by just 1 year in prison rather than being sentenced to death. But who determines whether it's a minor act? I don't know. And then we get to 1735, which is a big deal because it marks a complete reversal, really, in attitudes towards these things. It's not so much the practice of witchcraft that is being legislated. It's rather like the pretense of witchcraft. So anybody who might be like a fortune teller, tarot reading, claiming they're a medium, doing seances, anything like that, this is what the 1735 bill is covering. And it's mostly holding fraudulent people accountable, which I don't think we'll do an episode on them. Sorry, I lost my notes and it took me a minute to find them again. I don't think we'll talk about them, so I'm going to go ahead and mention them here. Janet Horn is the last person to be legally executed for witchcraft in Britain. And her trial and execution was in 1727, which is not that far away from us and really scary. And what I found really interesting is an even later person who was imprisoned with the Witchcraft Act, and that is Helen Duncan, who in 1944 was convicted by the 1735 Witchcraft Act. So she was convicted of being a fraudulent medium. But yeah, still, it's very strange that a Witchcraft Act of 1735 is imprisoning somebody in 1944. And well, the last little thing I want to...
And then afterwards, she was like, you know what? Starting a donut franchise, Dunkin' Donuts.
Not that kind of Dunkin'.
Starting a donut franchise.
Yeah, but then she was like, I'm done with this. I'm starting a donut shop, and we're going to call it Dunkin' Donuts.
Old laws remain on the books for a long time, and then, you know, you can still technically prosecute according to them because they haven't been repealed or... you know, revised in all that time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you get weird stuff like that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And this is... I'm going to say one more thing, and then I'm going to respond to what you just said, KB. So this act that James passes actually also passes the Massachusetts Bay Colony General Court... in 1692 as well. So it's about, what, almost 90 years after James first publishes it. It's published in the colonies and accepted as legislation, which is horrifying. But to respond to you, KB, I think it's horrifying that old laws are left on the books like this too, because... there is an act in South Africa that is passed in 1957 and is based entirely on the Witchcraft Act of 1735. So there is a current in law Witchcraft Suppression Act 1957 in South Africa. Yes.
64 years ago, to be exact.
It's very close to us, and I think that's horrifying.
Yeah.
But that's all I have for kind of introductions and key players and context, because I don't think we can take any more at this point.
No.
I'm kind of exhausted. Sally is having a real moment.
I am too.
I think it's hard to find a place to end this episode because we're just getting started. Like
this is just the context episode.
Yeah.
Like, wait till we get into an actual trial.
We're just presenting the big tangle of this. Yeah.
Yeah, we've shown you the mess of yarn.
Yeah. The sad part about it is, I think... We kind of talked about this in getting ready for the episode. There's no real end point. There's no bookend.
Yeah.
There's no, like, here's where it stays in history. It's a continuation.
It's it's not tied up in a pretty package.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're still dealing with after effects, obviously. So... I think that's the hard part about this this series.
I definitely expressed a concern to both KB and Sally when we first started this because I was very manic in that meeting as well, so I apologize for that, but I was just very nervous. But it was more like I described it to them as like seeing like four yarn clumps together and like trying to find the first color I wanted to pick at and try to ravel it back up into a neat ball, and it's impossible. It's just, there's no neat way to end any of this. So I hope y'all have a good day.
Oh, Thank you for listening to all this.
Yeah.
It's been a journey.
I'm gonna go sleep until tomorrow.
But I guess I do have the general business of our, you know, parting messages. My brain can't even, like, get on the right track. Well, we'd love to hear from you guys, particularly as we're starting this series and kind of thinking about where we want to take it, what things we want to cover. So if you have any suggestions, you can always get in touch with us. We do have our email, legendarylasses@gmail.com. We do also have social media. We're on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We don't use that one as much, I don't think, but we do have one. Let's see. If you do feel so inclined,
we have a YouTube now.
You can choose to. Oh, yes, we have a YouTube as well. If you'd like to see our shining faces, it's kind of a video of our recording sessions and things like that.
Unedited.
So we do have a YouTube as well. Yeah, yes, very. It's unedited. We just kind of put it up there. So, yeah, if you'd like that for your viewing pleasure or displeasure, you know, yeah. Whatever.
Technical difficulties and Shaggy Rogers-esque guest stars included.
Yeah. if you do feel so inclined, we have an option to donate to the podcast at anchor.fm. We're kind of trying to figure out if we're maybe going to move that elsewhere. So let us know if there's something you guys prefer as well. But any kind of donation goes directly into supporting the podcast. So that might be research materials or other improvements that will help our podcast directly. What else have we got? Let's see. I feel like I always get to this point and I'm like, what else is there?
I think you got it.
Yeah, those are all the major things. Just feel free to get in contact with us. You know, we try to, with every episode, kind of post a little bit so you guys can know what's going on and the new things that we're putting out. So I guess the only thing left is go out, make waves, change history, and stay legendary.
And kick some ass!
And you just punch a misogynist in the face.
And remember that pie's better than cake.
You know what? I'm so exhausted that I will agree with you, Sally.
Yes! I finally won!
I feel like this episode needs to end on a high note. So for all of those pie is better than cake people, you win.
We've beaten Ashley Dale.
Yes! Yes! I shall celebrate by taking a nap.
Same here, and I think everyone who listened to this deserves a nap and maybe a hot chocolate.
Yeah.
And take care of yourselves today and prepare yourselves for the next one.